Your Bibles with me, please, to Acts chapter 1. I know we looked at the Acts 1 a little while back, but God's give us a thought here again tonight in Acts chapter number 1. And just want to talk about, just briefly, features of a great church. Features of a great church. And I want us to have a great church, but I want it to be great in the eyes of God, not the eyes of the world. The world has a whole different view of who God is. I mean, the God of the Bible isn't the God that the world's betraying. You know, just do whatever you want to, I love you, and then pat you on the head and go on. That's not the God of the Bible. He does love us unconditionally. And I'm glad He loved us so much He gave His Son to die in our place. But folks, He's a God of holiness. Amen. He's holy. And not only did He tell Israel to be holy, He told the church to be holy. Be ye holy, for I am holy. And so we want to be a great church, but we want to be a great church in the eyes of God. A lot of folks will tell you we're a great church because we run 1,000 people. I'm not saying you're a bad church if you run 1,000 people, but 1,000 people in itself don't make a great church. Amen. I mean, I'm not. Hey, if you're doing it right, you got 1,000 people. Praise the Lord. But yet they think, well, you know, if I know a man told a preacher one time, he said, "Hey, our church, hey, it's got to be doing right because look at our offering and look at our number." And he said, "If we're going to judge success by that, and then Joel Osteen's doing it right. Yeah. I mean, he's running 100. I don't know how many thousands he's running." I mean, they didn't even knock out a wall, money falls out of it. That happened. A bunch of money. They remodeling. You knock out walls here, ain't nothing but dust coming out. I promise you that. I'd done found it if there was money in there. Everybody all right? But we want to be a great church, a biblical church, a godly church. A church where we understand we are work in progress, but we ain't stopping the progress. That's right. You know, I'd first admit, if you're looking for a perfect church, don't stop here. But we ain't just using that as our logo and say, no, we don't like it because we're not a perfect church. We're striving to be better. Amen. If we ever get comfortable just saying, well, we're not perfect. Well, we're not. But where I need to grow, I want to grow. And notice Acts 1. I'll mumble around here forever. And I'm actually probably going to look at the whole chapter quickly, but I'm not going to read the whole chapter. We understand that this is the Acts of the Apostles. And I'm not going to debate when the church began. You know, I know the arguments, Matthew 16 and arguments, Acts 2. I will say this. The pronouncement of the church was made in Matthew 16. Christ said upon this rock Himself, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, mind you, when the Lord said upon this rock, He talking about Himself. I will build my church. He's the foundation. He's the architect. And He's the owner. But He's not talking about the structures. He's talking about the body of Christ. And we see with the pronouncement of the church, the process of the church began. Amen. And then in Acts 2, we see the power of the church. The Holy Ghost came. The day of Pentecost was fully come. 50 days after the feast of the first fruits. Was the Feast of Pentecost, 50 days after Jesus resurrected. The Holy Ghost came and indwelled the believers. So we understand the power of the church. Then in Acts 2 on, we see the progress of the church. We see what God intended for the church. What's that? It's to preach the gospel, make disciples. People get saved. People begin to serve God. See, salvation is first service, salvation, sanctification, service. The Lord didn't save us to be pew warmers, bench warmers. He saved us to serve. We are ambassadors to Christ. So we see the pronouncement and the process of the progress of the church, the power of the church, the progress of the church. All this is happening from Matthew, and we see it taking off in Acts chapter number 2. He said, "Preacher, I just don't agree with that." Well, next time you preach somewhere else, amen, do it the way you want to. But what are some of the, when I talk about features, what does that mean? Simple word, it means characteristic, peculiarity, a trait. You go look at a car, what features does it have? They got many features now. That the truck I have now, I don't know half of what it'll do. I know it's a Ford, it'll do more than I expect. But I don't know, the features that it has. And folks, the church ought to have some special features. We shouldn't just have worldly features. We ought to have a heart for the unsaved. We ought to have a burden for the unsaved. We lose our burden for sinners being saved. We've missed it. If we get so pharisaical that we expect even unsaved people to come in here looking right. Amen. All right. Now, it's Wednesday night. Everybody all right? We do have a dress code for our church. Right. For members. Yep. It's in our bylaws, page 9. That's right. All our bylaws is Bible-based. But folks, we have a heart for sinners. We ain't talking about folks that come through here unsaved. Right. I don't care if your hair is 10,000 different colors. It doesn't matter. Hey, now, folks, if they got something they obscene and we got and it's taken away from what God's doing, we'll deal with that. But I'm talking about loving sinners. Amen. 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 You say, well, why don't you deal with them people that drag in here not dressed right? Well, I got to deal with some of the members that ain't doing it. Everybody all right, brother? Maybe you need to come on up here and preach. Amen. But what are some features of a great church? Let me give them to you quickly. Notice verses 2 through 4. There will be fellowship with the Savior. Folks, if our fellowship with the Savior is intact, our fellowship with one another will be intact. Notice verses 2 through 4. Until the day in which he was taken up, after that, he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. So now we have the very first thing is that they had fellowship with Christ. And folks, we understand that sin's a separator. We can't have true fellowship with Christ if our heart's not right. That's a prerequisite for fellowship in verse number 2. He said he gave commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. If you go down to verse number 12, then returned they into Jerusalem from the mount called Olive, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into the upper room where abode both Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James. So we see here now the prerequisite of fellowship, have fellowship with Christ and one another. Position of fellowship, verse number 4, they were assembled together. There's a commandment, there's a prerequisite, and then there's a position. We are to assemble together. Folks, this is a family. These men, they serve God together. And folks, when you serve God together, it brings a great bond. And that bond's a bond of Christ, it's love. See, there's very little true fellowship. there's groups clicked off, but I'm talking about true fellowship with all of God's people. All of y'all, my family. Amen. I don't want to be around one more than I do the other. And so now these men, they were the prerequisite of fellowship, the position of fellowship, then the patience of fellowship. Verse 4, they waiting for the promise. God said, wait. So they're fellowshipping and with Christ, and they're fellowship one with another, and they have patience in their fellowship, waiting on God to move. Right. What was the promise? The Holy Spirit was the promise. John's gospel talks about that. So one of the features of a great church is they will be fellowship with the Savior. Folks, you understand it's important for us to have fellowship with Him.
Right.
Walking with God. Talking with God. Listening to God through His Word, through preaching. That's fellowship with the Savior. Folks, it's like this. And I've used this illustration before. Me and my wife's going on 34 years of marriage at the end of June. And we were sweethearts 5.5 years before that. She was 14, I was 15. Long time. She waited 5 years past me to change her name to Turner. And she spent 34 years saying, what was I thinking? But we and you married couples, you understand we can read each other. Want to get quiet? What's wrong? Ain't nothing wrong. What's wrong? Nothing's wrong. Okay, what's wrong? You know that. And any of you husbands that's got a quiet wife that don't care, you're wrong, and vice versa. And you know, they could say, hey, ain't nothing wrong. I love you with all of my heart, but you've not even spoke to me in days. I'm going to have a problem with that. We've not embraced, we've not spoken, and we just pass each other in the hall. Oh, but man, I love you. Hey, that's talk. There's no fellowship. There's no fellowship. And so, therefore, if a church is going to be a great church, they have to have fellowship with the Savior. Now, let's move on. My wife said, thank you. There'll be fullness of the Spirit. There'll be fellowship with the Savior, and there'll be fullness of the Spirit. Look at verse 5, and I think verse number 8. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and all Judea, and Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. So therefore, a church that's great will have fellowship with the Savior, but they'll have the fullness of the Spirit.
Right.
Folks, you imagine that, and you can read this, you can read chapter 2. Wasn't there about 120 in the upper room? Somebody said none, about 120? And the Bible said they were all filled with the Spirit. Chapter 2, is all filled with the Spirit, every one of them. Can you imagine if every Christian that walked in these doors every service, we were all filled with the Holy Spirit? Wow. Can you imagine what God would do? They experience, and again, I'm not talking about experiences of miracles. We understand we're not talking about the charismatic movement or anything like that. But they experience something nobody else got to. Because of the fullness of the Spirit in their life. Now, notice that they had power. You shall receive power after that. The Holy Ghost come upon you. Folks, everything, every shout we hear is not from the Spirit of God.
Right.
So they had promised, you shall be witnesses unto me. Everybody filled with the Spirit will be witnesses. So they had a purpose to be filled. Folks, you understand we have a purpose to be filled with the Spirit, to walk full of the Holy Ghost? You understand we have a purpose for that? It's not to show off a gift. It's not to boast in a gift. It's for boldness to witness. That's what it's for. To be filled with the Spirit is to show Christ likeness to this world. Folks, you understand, if you walk in the Spirit, we know you're not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh, but you're going to have a godly confidence. You have been filled with the Spirit. It's amazing when you have give your life to God and you've confessed every known sin and by the grace of God living in total obedience, and there's no sin that you're trying to cover, no sin it's just, again, I'm not talking about sinless perfection, but it's amazing when you go out into society, that boldness, not only a boldness, it's a joy. It's a joy to be able to share Christ. Yeah, right. It's a joy just to walk up and start out a conversation with somebody. Say, hey, where are you from? Well, I mean, how you doing? I understand in this society now they look at you like you're crazy, but there ought to be a difference. It's just like our dear Brother Ronnie said. People don't even believe in God in prayer. They see difference. What is it? It's the Spirit of God. They don't understand it. But there's light. The Spirit of God is shining. Look down the road and they see, that's different. That's different. That's not the same. It's all the dead religion that's probably around that place. That's different. Preacher, what do you call dead religion? Anything that don't exalt Christ is dead religion. Anything that waters down the deity of Christ is dead religion. It's cultish. Amen. And I could name any group. So let me preach in the Bible now. Any group that puts Mary on the same level as Christ is dead religion. Any group that says I have to go behind a curtain and talk to a man to get to Christ is dead religion. Amen. Any group that puts Christ and Satan on the same level is dead religion. Amen. Any group that denies the deity of Christ, any group that denies the existence of hell, that's dead religion and it's everywhere. It's dead, it's dead, it's dead, it's dried up, it's dead. But there's the light. God sets a light. Brother, God's going to put that light back. Amen. Amen. We'll come out there and help you. Amen. You're not far from Roundup, right? Pryor's not far from Roundup, is it? Other side of Billings? Yeah, yeah. Amen. I've been there. I don't believe he's here by accident tonight, church. Amen. We'll jump on a plane. Amen. Brother Pickle, we know somebody's a pilot now, don't we? Amen. Brother Dale's son flies for Delta. He's a pilot. Amen. We'll be asking for discounts. Amen. Don't know if a pilot can do that or not, but we'll ask. There'll be fellowship with the Savior. There'll be fullness of the Spirit. Then there'll be fervency and supplication. Verse 14, look at it. These all, there it is again. All that upper room. These all. Man, get a hold of that word all. The whole church. Can I put it like that? The whole church. These all continued with one accord in what? In prayer and supplication. In prayer and supplication. There'll be consistent prayer, all continued. All continued. They didn't just pray one day. It was they continued praying. Folks, how often do you pray for the church? How often do you pray for the cause of Christ? How often do you pray for God's men? How often do you pray that you'd be a witness? Is it a continual prayer? Consistent praying. Congregational praying. Everybody. men, women, brethren, sistren, everybody's praying. And I like this. It was corresponded praying. It was in one accord. It was harmony. It was harmony. Harmony. Folks, that's a feature of a great church. There'll be fellowship with the Savior. There'll be fullness of the Spirit. There'll be fervency in supplications. Boy, I like that. Consistent, congregational, corresponding prayer. Then notice first, and I'm going to take time to read verses 16 through 26. But there will be faithfulness to the Scriptures. Let's do read a little bit. Verse 16, men and brethren, this Scripture must needs be have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and obtained part of the ministry. Now this man purchased the field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. That's the rest of the story about Judas hanging himself. And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch as that field is called in the proper tongue, Aceliadama. Aceliadama, if I'm saying that right. And don't say nothing in the back there. That is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. And we could read all the way down to the end of the chapter. What's happening? They're taking care of scriptural business. Their faithfulness to the word. They praying. Number one, they filled with the Spirit. They in one accord. They're praying. And now they're trying to keep everything scriptural. They're going to great lengths to keep everything scriptural. Folks, I'm not a rabbi, but I want everything as close as we can get to scriptural. Amen. Now, how close you want to get? Dead on it. Right. Now, we may have some difference of opinion on this, that, or the other, but I'm talking about doctrinally. I'm talking about preferences, but doctrinal issues, there is no preference. It is what it is. Preferences. I mean, a preference is this. I don't like pink ties. It's a color. That's a preference. Will I wear one? Yeah, I'll wear one if I need to. But that's not a doctrinal issue. That's something silly. Amen. Anybody split hairs over silly things is immature Christian. But I won't split hairs over some things, and that's doctrinal issues. Amen. Doctrine of salvation. Doctrine of the Trinity. Doctrine of eternal salvation. Doctrine of the Scriptures. Doctrine of the blood of Christ. Amen. Doctrine of church leadership. Amen. Qualifications of church leadership. Right. Right. We the Bible's plain. Now, again, where he's silent, we can be silent. But he's too plain on a lot of stuff. We're not going to do that. And so there will be faithfulness to the Scripture. And it was accepted by all. And the Word of God was the authority for everybody. It was the authority for everybody. Folks, again, every pastor, if he's got a heart for where he's at, and every pastor, every missionary, we want our churches full. I had a man tell me one time, and folks, nothing wrong with this if that's the will of God. This is the will of God. He said, I just want to go to a church that has about 50 people. And I understand, but at the same time, I understand this, so you don't want your church to grow any. You don't want it to grow any. Now, I'm going to be content. We started off with 20-something, and I was content, But we try to fill the Great Commission, go out and knock doors, go out and give gospel. And God added to the church that you should be saved. If it's the will of God to have 50, it's the will of God to have 50. But yet, I don't think we ought to say, that's all I want. If we get 60, I'm out of here. We get up to 70, I'm gone. To do that, you can't have a scriptural church. Because to do that, you have to just about close the door. Once you get your quota, then you have to shut the door. Because you get above quota, what you going to do? No, you say, well, I know church, great churches don't have 50. I do too. That's not what I'm saying. You don't have to have 1,000 people to have a great church. But the fact of the matter is, we got to still be scriptural. Go out into the highways and hedges. Support the go ye into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. That's the scripture for the church. Right. You should be witness unto me in all the world. That's the prerequisite. And once we get away from that, boy, I was reminded, Brother Ronnie, you mentioned that the first thing they done was done away with their missions. And I'll be honest with you, when I walked inside Tabernacle Baptist College in Greenville in 1989, I knowed that much about missionaries. I didn't belong to a church that had a mission program. In 19 years, 18 years, I was 19, let's call, and 20, and all those years, I might have seen two. Only thing that ever been pushed into my head about them was they're just out for money and too lazy to work. That's all I'd ever heard. That's all I ever heard. And I'm not trying to put anybody down. I'm just telling you the truth about it. And I remember sitting and listening to Dr. Seitler and Dr. Waters and Dr. Rice and some of these other older men of God. And then to hear the people that were part of the church. Brother Hugh Dale was here. Oxendine was here for years. And I'd love to, he drove Dr. Seitler and I got to drive him to meetings. And I'd pick his brain and I'd say, tell me something. Tell me a story. Tell me something. And he'd tell me those stories about church getting red. Dr. Seitler would get up on Wednesday night and take on 2 or 3 missionaries. And he said, next thing you know of, church was out of the red. God honors his word. Do it scripturally. See, a lot of people don't get that. See, folks, this is a spiritual house. And I've been told, and I don't know why I'm preaching this. I don't know why I'm preaching this or saying this. But I was told years ago, Bible Baptist Church is a business. If it is, we need to shut her down. Now, we're told not to be slothful in business. When we conduct business, so you have to conduct business, building, paying your bill. We're not to be we ought to be above board, good stewards in our business. But this is not a business. A business is in the market of making money. We're not in the market of making money. We're in the market of seeing souls saved and making disciples. In many aspects, the church has to run like a business, but if we ever run it as one, we've got completely out of the scriptures. We've got completely out of the scriptures. And a lot of churches is laying dead tonight because that's their mentality. The church is a business. And there's a certain few that run the business. No, that ain't scriptural. Not scriptural. You can't find it. If we can't read it, then no sense believing it. But a church, to be a great church, we got to stick to the book. People get aggravated when you tell them what the Bible says because it messes with their traditions. Now, there's some good traditions Paul talked about. traditions of preaching the gospel, tradition of seeing people saved. But there are some traditions of men that are killing the church. There's some opinions of men that are killing the church. That's the way we've always did it. That's how we've done it. Well, look at what you've had. Honestly, look at what you've had. You have a flurry of a feeling here and a flurry of a feeling there, but no consistent strength. Man, we've got to want more than that. We've got to desire more than that as a church body. You want a great church? You want a great church?
Amen.
Amen. Me too. Let's all stand. Come on, Miss Courtney.